This is part one of a three-part seminar by Bob Coughlin titled Piano and Contemporary Worship, which is made available to you through Sovereign Grace Ministries. It was recorded at our Worship God 2011 conference. Bob serves as Director of Worship Development for Sovereign Grace Ministries and is a worship leader at Covenant Life Church in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
First thing, excellence. Like, why we're pursuing this. Excellence in all dimensions of worship expression. This is from Brian Chapel, Christ Center Worship. Excellence in all dimensions of worship expression, including music, must not simply be defined by cultural standards of sophistication, but by the ability of the expression to strengthen, deepen, and develop faith. There is a characterization of church musicians that we're slackers, that we don't care. You know, if you want to listen to average music, go to a church. I think that's wrong, because we're seeking to serve God's people for God's glory, and there's really no higher calling. Now, there will be a difference between people who pursue music as an idol and spend, you know, 7 hours a day working on something versus, you know, people who have jobs and are going to school and they only have a limited amount of time to devote to their skill. So that's going to make a difference. But in the church, we should strive for excellence that helps deepen people's faith. We don't strive for excellence so that we will be seen and honored. We strive for excellence so that Jesus will be seen and honored. When I lead, when I play, you know, I'm just using a small percentage of what I could really do. Well, probably not now. At one point in my life, what I could really do. But all that stuff that I do wouldn't increase the glory of Jesus in people's eyes. They'd be distracted. They'd see what I can do. And I don't want to do that. I want to use my skill, my excellence, my gifting, my talent to bring glory to Jesus Christ. There's no higher calling. I mean, even a secular musician, even a Christian musician playing in a secular context should play for that reason. I want to use my music to bring glory to Jesus Christ. So I'll use the relationships, the venues, the opportunities I have to honor Christ. But especially in the church, where we're accompanying typically people singing words that are meant to magnify God's glory in Christ. We want to use our gifts, our musical talents, to help that, and not just have people look at us and say, wow, that's really great. Wow, did you go to that piano intensive? Wow, I can really tell. You don't want people saying that. You want people saying, you know what? Your playing so helped me focus on what we were singing. That's what you want people saying. So that's how we're defining excellence. Our gifts and talents are slaves to Christ. And that's a reality, whether we realize it or not. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So every gift that's not submitted to him will be worthless. All right. So that's excellence. Melody, rhythm, and harmony. That's basically what we have to offer. Okay, so we have melody. We have harmony. I'm sorry, rhythm, which is harmony too. And then we have the harmony chorus. All the notes together giving the chord. And I think for the piano player, that rhythm and harmony are going to be your most important tools. Typically, for those who have been brought up on hymnals, you just think you got to give them the melody, you got to give them the melody, you got to give them the melody, and you don't. It's not like people are going to suddenly forget how to sing the song if you're not playing it. So, you know, okay, great. But let's sing that together, okay? One, two. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Yeah, you did great. That was really good. And I wasn't playing the melody, if you noticed. Okay, so melody it can be used in different ways, and sometimes it's important to bring it in, but it's not the key thing. So we're going to focus a lot on rhythm and harmony. which leads us to groove. Rhythm leads us to groove. It's not a strength for pianists. Time is what you keep with a metronome. It's that. But there's no groove to that. At least I don't think there is. It's just beats. Groove, that's a little hard to explain, but groove is based more on accents, you know. With all the subdivisions. So there's this boom. When I was taking piano, my piano teacher would sit behind me and he'd try and make me feel this by just grabbing my shoulders. And it was a little unnerving, but but it got the point across. And the thing about groove is that it needs to be an inner pulse. It needs to be something that's inside you. Now, how do you develop groove? Well, part of it is just by playing less and listening more. If you play with a drummer who can keep time and plays well, it's often just listening to what they're doing. You can listen to any album with a contemporary album and hear what the drummer's doing to bring about a sense of this repeated rhythm. It's a repeated rhythm that you can join in with. And when we talk about hymns, we'll get into just how groove can help people sing a song. But it is something that's important. If you want to play contemporary piano, you have to know what groove is. Groove is more than just the notes you play. It's the feeling behind them. And trying to describe this, I'm going to be just like going around it. It's kind of the framework, the rhythmic framework that everything hangs on. So, you know, there are different ways to communicate groove. I say it involves thinking in larger segments of time. So it's not just the four beats in the measure. It's just feeling the bigger picture. So you can communicate it in whole notes. Let's start with basic or broad at first, you know. So let's do How Great Is Our God. I'm throwing in little things there, but my feel is that then quarter notes. I'm feeling something in here. Now, what a common form of groove for piano is what I call, and others have called, the guitar feel in the right hand. So you've got this. It's a dotted eighth tied to a half note. Now the thing is, for groove to work, what you feel in here has to come out here. A lot of times it doesn't. You know, it feels like I'm right in the pocket. No. So it's that three, that doom. And even there, I'm here. How it's not just. Which, it, you know, as you're reading music, that's what it looks like. And we at Sovereign Grace, because I'm kind of behind Sovereign Grace music, I have a burden, you know, that we put out music for people to read. But I'm always a little nervous when we do that because notation is simply a way to try to communicate in a way that can be repeated what you hear. But what you hear is what's affecting people. I mean, I know very few people who look at a page of music, you know, and just are there going, you know, unless they can imagine it in their heads, which some people can do. But it's what affects the heart. I mean, music is an emotional language. It's meant to affect the heart. So if you are reading music, keep that in mind too. Just because there are three chords, you know, following one another, they don't have to all be played with the same dynamic. And we're going to, I think we talk about that in dynamics. Okay, so left-hand thumb is another way of providing groove. Can you see that? Yeah. See my fifth finger? Oh, this is great. See my fifth finger here is just holding itself. I mean, it's just holding the key. It's not holding itself. And then I don't do these very often. You'll probably figure that out. And then you've got this thumb. Provide a lot of rhythm with your thumb. It requires a little bit of finger independence, but it's just and it's a lot more pleasing and persuasive as far as a groove than can you hear the difference? Okay, so I make sure. So let's think of a song. Let's think of a popular song, a worship song. Just anybody throw one out.
Hosanna.
Okay, 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 that's good, that's great.
Hosanna, Hosanna.
Just my thumb. That's just simple. I mean, you could go. It just doesn't sound as nice. And we're going to be talking about playing with the band versus playing solo. A lot of times I'm just thinking solo for now. You're the pianist, maybe with a guitar player. You don't have a full band with you. A band is a different thing. The left hand is just, it's another area entirely. Okay, so the arpeggiation is another way you can provide groove. This way a lot of pianists tend to provide groove, which if you're using dynamics and you're playing, it can be great. So what's a slower song? So the arpeggiation is providing the groove. It's letting people know where things are. Now you could go, here I am to worship, here I am to bow, here I am. And hear how that sounds so different? Da, da, da. Let's say you want to add a little groove. Okay, we'll get into dynamics later. Okay, so those are some ways that you can do groove. And the last thing I put there is just relying on percussive instruments. You know, let them do the groove. And if you're wanting to grow and just the ability to play with a groove, with a feel in the pocket, whatever you want to call it, oftentimes just playing whole notes to a drummer is a great way to do that. So if you're doing the song, Jesus, thank you. Your blood has washed away my sins. Jesus, thank you. You're just, and you're trying to feel primarily the kick and the snare. Kick and the snare, because that tends to be the main, and the hi-hat would be the other subdivided thing that you're listening for. Toms are optional. I mean, and when it comes to feel, unless you're doing a tom fill specifically, but generally the kick, where the kick falls, where the snare falls, the kick is the main accent, the snare is the backbeat, and then you've got your, you know, hi-hat doing whatever. So just listening. Now, if you're playing with a drummer who doesn't have a good time, that's not a good idea. But, okay, dynamics, another thing, these are just general principles. One of the things I learned as a classical pianist, which was really helpful, was just the wide variety of dynamics that are available to us. If you're self-taught, how many are self-taught? Okay, you never, okay. You raise your hands high, sorry, just so I can see. All right, and how many of you are classically trained? Wow, that's great, I think. I mean, I like having the best of both worlds. I mean, I think you can have the best of both worlds where you can actually read music and Yeah, play by feel as well. I think that's great. And if you're one or the other, it's good to know the other. I think I might have Marco Trogi this year tell about a seminar idea that was rejected. And that would be relating to note readers in your group. I don't know if you saw that on his blog. Okay, so anyway, dynamics, chord to chord. So all chords don't have to be the same volume. We talked about that just a little bit. So let's do a little a brighter song. What's that? Oh, good. Okay, good. Sorry. That's the guitar feel. Actually, I'm doing two things there. I'm keeping a quarter note feel in my thumb and then doing the guitar rhythm in my right hand, but there's a distinction in the volume of the chords. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. So the first one is really the doom 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 doom. So rather than let your kingdom come, let your will be done. I mean, you can get by with that for a little bit of time, but after a while, it just gets so old, and no one can fill anything, and it just sounds like. And so I'm just encouraging you not to do that. Just to work on that. Section to section, of course. If you have a song like, I would have loved to have all these songs like mapped out in advance, but I just didn't get to it. So, Mr. Jesus, thank you again. The mystery of the cross I cannot comprehend. Doesn't need to be big. Agony of Calvary. You, the perfect Holy One. Doesn't need to be loud at all. Christ, your Son. And drink the bitter cup reserved for me. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you, the Father. And I'd probably use that more at the end of the song than right there. But you see the difference in the, we want to make those differences. So work at playing softer, and for some of us, playing louder. But just make sure that that's in our playing, that we have those options. Growth over the song, as the song continues, the end, maybe it's the beginning, it's just, I have a whole book of songs here that I could be using. All I Have is Christ. I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. I mean, you don't want, I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. Because why? Okay, now here's getting into like why we are seeking to be excellent. It's because that's not what the words are saying. I once was lost in darkest night and thought I knew the way. Like, okay, that's a sobering thought. So I want to be playing something more down. But when you get to the choruses at the end, hallelujah, all I have is Christ, hallelujah. I'm just giving it everything I have, and I'll probably break the piano. And I'm going to talk later about the difference between playing on an acoustic piano and like one of these. It's different. So there's a difference between the number of notes and the force of attack. You can make a loud sound with a few notes. You can make a soft sound with a lot of notes. And some of us, it's just like they're the same. A few notes is soft and a lot of notes is loud. No, you can... And okay, so that's a lot of notes, but it's not loud. And then you can do, like on a lot of fills, I'll do, every day we'll bless you and praise your name. Just octaves. And what I'm doing there is kind of grabbing them. Something I learned as a classical pianist. So I'm forcing it down. And if you, like if I did that to you, it would hurt a little bit. But I'm just kind of digging into it because I want it to be loud. But it doesn't have to be a lot. So that's what I'll say about that. Dynamics, confidence. One of the things I hope you grow in, and again, it won't happen instantly, and some of you may be already there, is just you want to do what you do with confidently. And I'd rather do something simpler confidently than something complicated poorly or with hesitancy. It sets people at ease. We want to be confident about the tempo, the key, the chords, the notes. We want to, you know, part of what is needed for effective playing on the fly is a large reservoir that you're drawing from. So you'll never use everything you know. And just I'll tell you something that helped me, like when I was in college, I used to play for dance classes, ballet and modern ballet, and I would have to make stuff up on the spot. And well, I guess I could have like just done music, but for modern, I couldn't. Just had to make stuff up on the spot. So what I'd do is I'd find a chord that I really liked, and I'd just try and use it like a lot. So it might be like the sharp 11 chord, and we won't typically use this on a Sunday morning. That chord, so like a C7 with a D in the top. So, you know, I'd go... So I just be trying to, but so I just keep using that chord until it just fits and fits my fingers and I don't have to think about it. And the one that I really used a lot was the major 9 chord, which we'll talk about later, which is like a C and a G and a D and really the B and sometimes the E. It's really Aaron Copland-ish, Appalachian Spring, if any, or Steely Dan-ish, if you want to go more modern. Right? So it's that. So I'm trying to get that, what does that feel like under my fingers? And the more you do that, and it might be for you, it just might be like a minor 7. Okay, I want to feel what that minor 7 is. Or you, this is one way of practicing it. Play that chord for every note of a melody. So you're working on your minor 7 chord, and you want to use Amazing Grace. It's really awful. You'll get that minor 7 chord by the do, 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 do. You'd have a little major at the end. But it's or you could go up the chord, up the scale. So say your major chord, your major 9 chord, you start with a C, you go up the D, you go up the E, F, G, A, B, C. It's awful when you're practicing, but you'll get familiar with both the sound and the feel of the chord. And so then you'll be playing a song, you go, oh, that chord would fit right here. But if it's not there to draw from, you won't have it. Now, another way to learn to grow in your chord knowledge is just to read them, just to read, you know, transcriptions of songs or hymns, and hymns would be your more standard harmony. But just, are we there? Yes, deliberate practice. I was just already going into it. And it looks like we're going to finish this section early, unless you have like a lot of questions here, which you probably won't. Deliberate practice is probably one of the things that has been most helpful for me as a musician. I don't, Well, I used to do a lot of deliberate practice. I don't practice much now, but it's mostly because I'm involved in other things. You know, music is really not as much a part of my life as I wish it was. Like, I don't play the piano much now. I have a Steinway that someone's loaned me in my house. And, yeah, I know. And I don't play it near as much as, well, yeah, I wish I did. Maybe one day I will. They'll probably be gone by then. Having said that, deliberate practice is the way you get better. If you want to get better, it's going to require deliberate practice. I read a book a few years ago called Talent is Overrated by Jeff Colvin. Anybody read that? Okay. Anybody read Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell? I've heard that similar. Don't know. The premise is that people aren't really gifted. They just practice really well, which I don't fully agree with. He tries to make a persuasive case. I know enough musicians that it doesn't matter how long they practice, they're never going to be that good. There were some of them in college, and they just practice hours and hours and hours. And then you have someone else who worked really hard too, but there was a gift. There was an understanding of music. In fact, I visited my piano teacher a few years ago, and he was just remarking on the fact that he gets students who have it and students who don't. He says it doesn't make any difference how they practice. So I don't agree with the premise entirely, but having said that, I think that most of us aren't as good as we could be. I really believe that. And part of it's because we don't practice in the right way. So there are five elements to deliberate practice that he describes. And part of this comes from studies that have been done where they found that anyone who is an expert in their field, whatever their field is, could be math, it could be music, it could be art, it could be athletics, it could be finance. They have spent 10,000 hours doing what they do. And they found that to be almost a universal rule. So I thought, okay, I probably have spent 10,000 hours doing this, what I do. But you look at guys like Tiger Woods or what's-his-face who just won the British Open, McIlroy, and who as a kid was just hitting 1,000 golf balls a day, and you think, I wonder why he got so good. Well, it's because he spent so much time. So these are the principles or the components of deliberate practice. It's designed to improve performance. Like, it's actually designed to make you better. This has application both for you as an individual and for your team. Running through songs does not make you better. You notice that? Talked to a guy one time who said they had 3 rehearsals a week for his worship team. I said, you are kidding. And they were all about 3 hours each. I said, you just need better musicians. You don't need to practice that much. What can you do? But, there's this, I got the impression they're just running through songs. You're running through them. That doesn't make you better. It's got to be designed to make you better, to improve your performance. There's a high degree of repetition. You just get used to repetition. You just get used to doing the same thing over and over and over. I remember walking by practice rooms, and one of them could have been mine, where you hear somebody just playing the same thing over and over and over. And each time, it's just a little better. Or they've slowed it down so that, they're getting it right. Someone saying that it's not practicing until you get it right. It's practicing until you can't get it wrong. That takes repetition. If you're just trying to get it right once, it's not going to stay. It's not going to hang with you. So just practice till you can't get it wrong. That requires repetition, immediate measurable feedback. So I'll give you an example. If I'm trying to practice my fast stuff, I just want to be able to glide over the keyboard. And so I'll try to do a D major scale. Okay, that's okay. Let me try my left hand. Not quite as clean. Yeah, okay, so I'm going to practice this, okay? So what I'll do is I'll do rhythms. So I'm breaking down the fast stuff into really small increments. Now I'll reverse it. hard to do this standing up. And then maybe I'll do four. I'm really condensing this. Should I wait there? Okay, wait a little, relax. So I want my hand to be relaxed. Okay, I want to get this clean. Okay, so then, I mean, already there's immediate improvement. Now, that's just after that little bit. Imagine doing that for half an hour, you know, and just saying, well, Lord, I'm doing this for your glory. No one else is appreciating it, but I'm doing it for you. Now, you can do that with, I'm getting ahead of myself. Immediate measurable feedback, mentally challenging. Like, you have to actually think when you practice. I know that's a drag, but you have to actually be asking yourself, is this really helping? Is this really the problem? Have I identified exactly what the problem is? And then it's hard work. Should easily follow after those first four. What can you exercise deliberate practice in? Playing with a metronome. I think I have okay time, pretty good time. It's not great. It's not like really, really, really good time. I could get better by just, let's see, where is it? I know this metronome somewhere. But this isn't my keyboard. So just practice with a metronome. So you play it, and you know. Start with whole notes. Let's do a song that we know. Thank you. Now what's going to happen when we go to the chorus? Let's go right to the chorus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Oh man, my metronome's broken, man. I can't get it to work right. I mean, that's what it feels like, but really, we have so many devices that can help us now. I mean, you can download a metronome from the internet, just gave you some of them. You have them on a lot of keyboards. So use them. That's what I'm just to say. Use them. If your time's not good, just go from verse to chorus. That's often a bad place. It's a place we lose time. We lose the groove because we're just getting excited. And, you know, if you do that, we played with a bass player on the last album. His name's Joey Kennedy. Unbelievable talent. He played on the last album we put out, Risen. And I was talking to him. Well, let me explain it. Joey, we did, I think we cut 11 songs, 10 or 11 songs in 2 days. So these are guys who have never heard this music before. They go in, and we show them that we play a little bit of cut, you know, of a demo, and then they start. Well, Joey would always be the first one to come in from recording a song, and then the drummer would work on his parts, and the bass player would work on his parts. I'm sorry, the guitarist would work on his parts. And then I talked to Sal Oliveri, who produced the album. He said, you know, it was really phenomenal. Like, I was editing the tracks for the album, and I think I only moved like two or three notes that Joey played. Now, when you hear the album, if you know anything about how hard it is to play in time, that's really, it's almost unbelievable. So I was talking to him, I said, Joey, how did you get such good time? I think he's in his 40s. He said, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I just practice and stuff. I mean, when I was going to bed, I used to go to bed with a metronome clicking in my brain. So, you know, that might have had something to do with it. And he works really hard. I mean, he is there 110%. So it's not, I mean, if you listen to that album, realize these parts are being, this is probably the second, maybe the third time this guy has played this song. And he's playing these notes this well. That's the result of deliberate practice and the metronome. Okay, I got that. Chord knowledge. I talked some about that, just growing in your knowledge of chords, especially if you want to be more expansive in what you can do. You just have to know what chords are. You know, so you've got your majors, you've got your minors, and and you've got other chords. You know, you don't use that much. Well, I'll talk about chord knowledge later. So yeah, just growing in your knowledge of chords, how you can dress up chords. You see a C, but really, that's just a suggestion. You can do so many things with that C, and we'll talk about this later. Song knowledge, of course. One summer, I grew up Catholic, Roman Catholic, and didn't have a great hymn knowledge. So one summer, it's in the 80s, I went through the Oral Roberts hymnal. He's the first like 50 songs, because we had played at Oral Roberts, and someone gave me one of the hymnals, and so I thought, let's see what this is in here. That had such a profound impact on my life, because I never knew these songs existed. And what I would do was each day I would sing a song, sing one of the hymns, just so every day for a summer I would just sing these hymns. It's just deliberate practice. It's just growing in your knowledge of what songs are out there. It may be for you, we have so many options of listening to music now, you know, Groove Shark or YouTube, or just setting aside a half hour a week to listen to songs. It's really the way we grow. So that's how we can grow in a song knowledge, practicing with others. As I mentioned, this is not just for individuals, this is for group. So if you're part of a team, these principles can be applied there as well. I'm going to announce that you're welcome to watch any of our rehearsals. Hopefully it will help you. Although you may say, hey, they're just like us. They don't know what they're doing either. It could go either way. One thing I've tried to grow in over the years is this kind of stuff. Like when we're together as a team, I don't really like to practice more than like an hour. Maybe an hour and 15 to get through everything. Now, granted, I'm working with, you know, good musicians, but even when I go into a church, I want to have enough time so that everybody's comfortable, but I don't feel like we have to, you know, everything's got to be perfect and, you know, it's just got to be, but I do want to maximize the use of that time. So I make sure everybody has a pen, you know, so we can note any changes that we're making. We don't have to go over them five times. No, just mark it once. We'll go over it twice, and that's good. We're good to go. When we get there, we'll know what we're doing. So deliberate practice as a group as well as an individual. Okay, that's the first part. I finished 10 minutes early. I'm so excited. But any questions on that kind of general stuff? I mean, you can look ahead. We're going to be doing playing with the band, talking about audio spectrum fills, left hand, acoustic piano versus electric keyboard. Then we're going to be talking about chord coloring, inversions, hymns, introductions, transitions, playing behind someone speaking, modulations. So any of those things, or not those things, that you have a question about? Yeah.
Well, Bob, when you're playing those chords, what are you thinking? I mean, are you... Do you know your scales? Because I've played block chords fine, and I've even arpeggiated a little bit. But when I have a hard time with melody because I don't even know the notes to the key necessarily, the way I know the chords.
Like what the melody is. You're saying you don't know what the melody is?
Well, when the melody throws in all the accidentals, so I can do the 1-3-5, and I can even do the minor 7, major 7, whatever. That's easy. That's math.
Yes.
But when you do all those arpeggiations, how did you, is that just rote practice you did, or are you thinking notes?
So like when I'm playing, the stuff I throw in. Okay, well, why don't you come up here? Let's do a little class participation right now. Yeah, because it'll just help, like, for me to get exactly what you're saying. And your name is? Kurt, come on. No, you got to come over here to the piano. And will you sign a waiver that if we show this on video, you won't sue us?
It's punishment, right?
No, it's not. It's great to be. Okay, so play, let's pull out a song. Play, what one of these would you, you know, any of these? Jesus, thank you. Yeah, no, they're guitar charts. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Great, is that faithfulness?
Right, sure.
Okay. All right, so, and, you know, use... Okay, so show me how you play this. Great is thy faithfulness. The hymn.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father.
Yes.
There is no
this is a bad one because there's so many chords in it. We got E7 sus, F sharp minor. Got an augmented chord in there. E sharp minor diminished. Oh, that's great. Yeah, you're doing great. Okay. No, 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 that's good. No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Okay, so I think part of it would come through, yeah, like chord, like what chords will go in a chord? What notes will go in a chord? So you're just thinking, okay, chord, 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 and that's what you're thinking. Right.
Yes, and I've had enough time that I've started to break it down.
So yeah, I saw that.
I'm not blocking it off
right.
all the time. But if I had to play that melody, I don't think I could do it.
I would
hit the clunkers, and I would hit even Closer Walk with Thee.
Go ahead.
We played that Sunday.
Yeah. I don't have that one in my book.
And I have to cheat by...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, gotcha. Oh, that's got chromatics in it. Okay.
So I don't know my scale. I was just curious.
That's good.
Would you have known to hit that D? Do you think that D? Or do you think
that
I have to work my way up to it?
Yeah. So, do you know intervals? Like, if I do this... Can you sing the sixth above it, major sixth above it? Yeah, you can. Okay, you can hear it. It's what you hear in your part of it's what you hear in your ear, and or mind, and part of it is what your fingers just do because you've done it so much. So let's go back to Great is Thy Faithfulness. So you've got Great is Thy Faithfulness. Well, yeah. Okay, we're gonna get into that chord coloring.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But was that just what was written?
No, what's written is. Like I said, these are suggestions. Some well-meaning individual has spent a lot of time putting all those chords up there, and we don't want to be tied to them slavishly. But we do want to play something that will go with the band, for sure. So I just played a major 2, which goes with the major 7. So that, like I do know that. Like you start with your basic chord, your C, okay? These two, this D, this is the 2nd, and the 7th, can be used in wonderful ways. Now, sometimes even the 4th can be used. Like if you're doing... That's the sharp 4, but... You typically don't use that on the 1, but there are some times, like we're doing a song Friday night where I'm playing. I'm trying to think what the song is. Have mercy, have mercy. Okay, yeah. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. That's a B chord. Which we actually changed to B sus, but I just had the 4th to it. Because of your steadfast love. So let's go back to you doing this because we got 3 minutes. Okay. Okay, go back here. Great is thy faithfulness. Just play the whole notes. Or dotted half no father. There is. So that was a little 7th I threw in. That 7 and 2nd, they work a lot both as clusters, but then also as passing tones for the melody. So just go and play the dotted halves for us. Great is thy faith. Just the dotted halves. O God, thy Father. Keep going. Yeah, there is no. There is no shadow of turning. Yeah, okay, so right there, he's given himself more options. right? Because you're just playing the dotted halves. Now, let's add a little options.
So you're telling me to do what I already do, is cut out every other chord.
Well, that's a good start. Yeah, I mean, that's... But then you got to know what to fill in those notes with. Okay, so go back again, and we're just going to do one fill. Same thing, dotted halves. Just play the dotted halves. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you have to go back. Yeah, do it deep.
Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Yes.
Yes, yeah, that would be great. Yeah, just that little fill, except you're a little nervous when you're playing the dotted halves. Why don't you relax more? I'll just start doing this to you. Just, that always helped me back in college. Yeah, just try it one more time. Just rest on those chords. One, two, three.
Great is thy faith.
But just let hold them.
Oh, God, is it deep, Father?
Yes.
There is no shadow turning with thee.
Now you're filled.
Doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yes,
thou changest not thy compassions.
That's good. That's all right.
Fail not.
Nice.
Hast been thou forever will be.
Yeah, just do. Yeah, nice. All right, you got it. That's good. Okay, that's good. Yeah. So I would say, I mean, you got to know the melody. The take home is you got to know the melody. So I'd say for you, Kurt, it would be good to go. Play it. So you know what's coming. And then you're also aware of like, okay, where would be a nice place to fill for this? Because the melody is carrying it. You're just providing the support. And then... Once you know the melody, then you start working with, okay, what notes could go around here? And you got to know your scales. Deliberate practice. Get in your D scales, your C scales. Just go, okay. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. No, no, I'm just thinking, I know that seventh works in there. Yeah. Yeah, because I know I got a D, an A, a D, and I'm just saying that C sharp in there. So here's another way you could deliberate practice, is just like take your D scale and just practice notes. One, two, two. Just do phrases. You know, repeated. So let's do something 4, 2, 3, 4, 1. 2, 3, 4, 1. So the more you do that, the more it'll just flow. But here's what you don't want to do. Sounds like a Bach invention. Yeah, don't fill the space. Space speaks as loudly as the music. And without the spaces, you know, your language would be terrible because you'd have no spaces to do anything. You'd just talk like this all the time. There'd be no breaks. There'd be no commas. There'd be no periods, no exclamation points, interrogation points. It'd just be like this, and you'd have to take a breath sometime to be able to say something. But in music, you need places where it breathes and where people can hear what you're saying. So when you're doing melodies, just think that way. That's a little bit of help.
You've been listening to a seminar which was given at our Worship God 2011 conference. It has been made available to you through Sovereign Grace Ministries. Sovereign Grace is primarily devoted to planting and caring for churches. We also hold conferences, train leaders, and publish books, music, and audio and video messages. For more information, visit www.sovereigngraceministries.org or call us at 301-330-7400.